Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Clay and Lehrer on WNYC. And according to stats I saw this week, Yemeni Americans own about half the 11,000 or so bodegas or convenience stores in New York City. So it is something, not nothing, when their trade association decides to boycott something they sell every day to make a living, the New York Post. As you may already know, it's because of the Post's burning Twin Towers front page last week, which came in response to one line taken out of context, spoken by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar in a speech that came about a week after the Christchurch, New Zealand massacre at two mosques there. I want to play the clip because you're going to hear the full clip in context, and then we'll talk about the few words that the New York Post took out, that a Republican congressman took out, that Trump took out. But this was on March 23rd in L.A. at the banquet of the Council of American Islamic Relations, or CARE.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
So she's making the point that after 9/11, which was perpetrated by individuals, all of us Muslims were starting to lose our civil liberties, she said. The word "some people did something" were pulled out of that and used to make it seem like she was minimizing or somehow nodding and winking support to the terrorist attack of September 11, 2001. Now, the group CARE was actually founded in 1994, you know, well before 9/11, so her statement was incorrect in that detail, just for the record, but they became much more active after the 9/11 attacks. And again, that speech was delivered in the context of it being 8 days after the mosque shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. The blowback is what you know with a congressman and then the Post and then Trump. So in response to the Post's cover, the Yemeni American Merchants Association organized a boycott. Convenience stores or bodegas owned by Yemenis, those who participate, will not sell copies of the Post. We'll see for how long. Joining me now are two guests, Dr. Debbie Elmontazer, co-founder and secretary of the board of directors for the Yemeni American Merchants Association, and Youssef Mubaraz, director of public relations, both here with us to talk about what they're hoping to gain from the boycott. Dr. Elmontazer, welcome back, and Youssef, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ryan.
So, Youssef, why did you decide a boycott of the Post is the best way forward?
For years, the Post has been attacking Muslims and villainizing us with their coverage on, anti-Muslim stories, and it's basically a tabloid. I mean, our merchants have been boycotting the New York Post for years now. It's about time we finish the job and get rid of it completely.
You're saying a lot of the bodegas in New York that are owned by Yemeni Americans already refused to sell the Post because of their depictions of Muslims?
Yes.
Dr. Elmontazer, do you want to give us a little more context on that, if you have it?
Sure, absolutely. Brian, we were absolutely outraged when we saw the cover of the New York Post and the way that they portrayed Representative Ilhan Omar. You know, for me, as a mother of a first responder, to see the burning Twin Towers just outraged me as a New Yorker who was here on 9/11, whose son was deployed on 9/11 and who served for 6 months as a first responder at Ground Zero. This is a desecration to his service and the service of other American Muslims who are actually 9/11 responders. And also our American Muslim, you know, men and women in the armed forces who are serving our country, to have such an attack on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. as well as our community. And we felt the necessity that it was time to take action. And though Yusuf has mentioned that there are many who are not carrying the paper, we are engaging a few hundred so far who've already stopped. And if you look at our Facebook page, you will see the various pictures of stores that are showing the empty spot of the New York Post. And this time around, as an organization that has close to 6,000 bodegas and small delis and even restaurants a part of our membership, we are doing a full-fledged boycott of this paper. And it's not going to stop there, Brian. We are now engaging the Bengali community that actually has the small kiosks and subway stations and wanting to engage them into joining us. And so this boycott is a 30-day boycott, giving the New York Post the opportunity to come out with an apology, both to Ilhan Omar, the American Muslim community, and Muslim, and actually communities of color who've been victimized by the Post over the last few decades. And so we are waiting to hear from them, and I'm happy to let Yusuf share with you our demands.
Yes, thank you, Debbie. So our first demand, Debbie mentioned, is we demand a public apology to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, the Muslim Americans and minorities who have been persistently victimized by the New York Post propaganda that spreads nothing but hate and fear on the streets of New York City and across this country. We demand the firing of New York Post editor-in-chief Stephen Lynch, who has demonstrated a clear viciousness and intent to spread racism and hysteria that leads to violence against our communities, especially in times like this where Islamophobia is at its highest. We demand more responsible and nuanced reporting that takes racism and Islamophobia into professional consideration. We want accountability for sensationalist stories that undermine national unity and incite violence and hate against minority communities for the sole purpose of circulation and sales. And we demand that elected officials, government officials, stop giving the New York Post any public platforms to spread hate and racism in this multicultural city and across the nation at large.
Listeners, we want to hear your voices on this segment. Yemeni Americans will get first priority for this segment. If we happen to have any other Yemeni bodega owners listening, are you participating in this boycott? How much money are you going to lose by not selling the New York Post? Or maybe you've already been not selling the New York Post, as Yusuf was describing, is already fairly common in the Yemeni American bodega or convenience store owning public, or anyone else also welcome. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Debbie Almentazer and Yusuf Mubaraz, here representing the Yemeni American Merchants Association. So let me push back in a couple of ways. Dr. Almentazer, could Representative Omar have chosen her words more carefully? Do you want to kind of put your arm around her and say, look, if you're going to talk about 9/11, even if you're making the point that you don't support 9/11, that everybody who doesn't support 9/11 is being tagged as if they did, which I understand was the context of that clip. That's why we played the whole clip. But if you're going to say some people did something, at least say some people did something terrible.
You know, Brian, the point that you raised is important. And what's important about it is that Ilhan was giving a speech, and it was, her words were taken out of context. And if you listen to the entire speech, she goes on to talk further about this. In addition to that, she is one of the congressional leaders that is actually a co-sponsor on a bill for 9/11 families to get benefits, which, you know, has been very contentious on a federal level to try to get more funding to the families here in New York. And so I think it's really critical to understand that what is happening here is that the New York Post, as well as the Islamophobia industry, as well as the GOP, they're looking to take down Ilhan Omar. And this is a proven record that they go after people, American Muslims, who are exercising their leadership, expanding it. And let's take, for instance, my own story, Brian. You remember I was on your show for the very reasons of the New York Post and a concerted effort by the Stop the Madrasa Coalition, who worked tirelessly to make the mayor and the chancellor of the city of New York to force me out of my position as the founding and former principal of the Khalil Gibran International Academy. And so we see this. There is a running record of this, and I can prove this to you because I just recently published a book called Leading While Muslim, which chronicles the stories of 14 American Muslim leaders in public education who have experienced far more serious situations than I have. One woman in particular was put under so much duress by the microaggressions and the anti-Muslim abuse that she was getting from her employer that she fell ill and for life now has to deal with seizures and take medication to hold her together from having seizures. So we see this every time that an American Muslim rises and is actually vocal and is actually engaged in society, that they want to go after them. And so I urge you and the listeners to understand that this is a concerted effort to take down Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. And it's because she sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee, as well as has been, you know, vocal on many issues that people care about. So I think it's really important to have this context and understand what Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is up against. And most importantly, what is happening from all of this, Brian, is her life is in danger. She is getting death threats. Speaker Pelosi just spoke yesterday about ensuring that there is going to be round-the-clock security for her. What kind of life is this that she has to live in fear, her and her family? And, you know, when I was attacked by the New York Post and the Stop the Madrasa Coalition, I also got death threats. And I also had to have security by the New York City Department of Education. So people need to factor in the dangerous situation that they are putting American Muslims who are exercising and expanding their leadership, who are no different than any other American.
And Yusuf, a pushback question for you on the idea of the boycott and calling for the editor to resign. Some people will say we have a First Amendment in the United States for a reason. The speech might be offensive to you, to me, to many people, but the remedy is not to try to silence a news organization that has a different point of view and try to pressure its editor to step down. What would you say in response to that?
We fully support free speech, but not when it's targeted towards inciting violence to a group of Americans in this country. I mean, that's clearly what it's doing. It's trying to add shock value and sell newspapers. It's basically a tabloid today.
It's a tabloid.
Yeah.
Daily News is a tabloid. There were other tabloids. Not a good enough reason. Right. But you're saying you see it as actually going so far as to incite violence.
Yes.
With a front page like that, with the burning Twin Towers.
Yeah, I mean, those images just bring up such terrible memories for everybody, including American Muslims. I mean, you already see, as Debbie said, Ilhan Omar is getting death threats just because our leader, the leader of this country, is also using these same shocking images. They're not there to spread any news or value. It's there to hurt American Muslims.
Abdullah in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Abdullah.
Yeah, I used to own a bodega with a lot of my other friends, so I know the Yemeni folks. The British used to say, when they conquered the world, that But there's one place they can't conquer. Yemeni are kind of a people, it's like sleeping with another man's wife. So these are a tough bunch of people, and I tell Rupert Murdoch not to mess with these guys, because you are a good friend of Silverstein, who said the building had to be pulled. Building number 7 came down in controlled demolition form, and the Yemenis and Ilhan Omar should not be taking the blame for that. So someone said something with a clear reference to an inside job for both World Trade number 7 and the building number 7.
Abdullah, thank you very much. See, Dr. Al-Muntaza, those are the... I guess that's, you know, if you go on certain kinds of right-wing radio, you're going to hear that one. Not some people did something, even who were Muslim. It was an inside job. So we got a little taste of that.
Yes. It is really unfortunate. You know, I can tell you from my own son's experience serving at Ground Zero for 6 months what his life has been like. He is suffering with mental health illness. His health is not well, and he will never forget that day, and he will never forget those 6 months that he served. He will never forget seeing the body parts. He will never forget that, and none of us will ever forget that. And so I really take offense and issue when people come on the radio and say crazy things like this.
Diana in Manhasset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Brian.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Always good to be on the show again. As a victim of the 9/11 terror attacks and injured as a result where I was working, and my husband, who had ironically just moved from the 83rd floor of number one World Trade Center to Midtown, so his life was spared, but he is a Muslim American, and I... You know, to this day, I'm still traumatized by the association of Islam with the 9/11 terror attack. Now, all of that said, I do know that, and I think it's completely appropriate for the gesture. And by the way, full disclosure, we're CARE members and supporters.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite important in my mind that the boycott, which... Boycotts in general are effective. After all, apartheid in Africa effectively ended, at least in part, by the tremendous effort of American, largely American, pension funds, public funds, teachers' funds, of making sure that there was no investment of any companies that supported apartheid. And eventually, apartheid fell, at least in part because of boycott. Now, so boycotting the New York Post is, I think, effective methodology to draw attention to the matter, but it's also very Islamic to say, we will give you 30 days because maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you'd like to take this time to think about it, talk to us about it, and retract. That would be a lovely thing, you know, the second mountain, David Brooks, to actually have a conversation. On the other hand...
That's very funny because he's our next guest coming up in about 7 minutes.
Oh, and the congresswoman, who I think is courageous and has all the enthusiasm of a newbie and somebody who teaches at Baruch College, I get that, but she really should take advisement from elder states people and make sure that she's making her message in a way that does not become an electrifying trigger point mm-hmm. for the opposition.
Diana, I'm going to leave it there because we're almost out of time. Youssef, very interesting caller on, you know, many sides of this with the personal experience and her Muslim husband and being members of CARE, but also wanting Representative Omar to choose her words differently.
Yeah, thank you for calling and... you know, thank you to your husband for his service. And I think she's absolutely right, you know, on what we're doing. We are giving 30 days for the New York Post to reach out to us and apologize and you know, change their tone, listen to our demands. But if we don't get what we want, as the caller before him said, we Yemenis are a strong community, and we have some plans up our sleeves.
They haven't changed in 30 years. I don't think they'll change in 30 days. But Dr. Al-Montasser, a last word, thinking about that caller?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Brian, you know, from my experience that happened in 2007 as the founding principal of the Khalil Gibran International Academy, this is personal for me. And this is personal for my community, not only the Yemeni American community, but the American Muslim community at large. And we are actually just launched a fundraising campaign on LaunchGood to raise funding to actually help us execute a robust campaign if the New York Post doesn't come forward with a public apology to Ilhan Omar, the American Muslim community, and communities of color who've been victimized by the New York Post. We are getting ready, and we are going to execute it. And I promise you, this is also in the names of all the people, the school leaders in my book, Leading While Muslim, to make sure that we never allow any paper to attack us and to incite violence that will endanger our community and communities of color.
Dr. Debbie Al-Montasser, co-founder and secretary of the board of directors for the Yemeni American Merchants Association, and Youssef Mubaraz, its director of public relations. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.